All right, today I want to share with you a few short little ideas. One idea on the Daf Yomi, and then some short little ideas on the parasha. I don't have a big topic, just a collection of thoughts. Someone told me a very nice idea relating to something that we learned in the Daf Yomi 2 days ago. It made an impression on me, so I want to share it with you. The Gemara talks about the Aron, the dimensions of the Aron, and how the Luchos and the Sefer Torah fit in the Aron. Okay, this is a very, very powerful Gemara. Where is it? The Gemara is in Megillah, I think, in the Bavli, but in the Shkolim we have here two opinions as to how many Tfachim were used in the Am for the Aron. The Torah says the Aron was 2.5 amos long by 1.5 in Sukkah, by 2.5 amos long and 1.5 amos wide. So it's 2.5 in length, 1.5 in width. How many tefachim are there in an amah? So there are two opinions. Either when it comes to the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, one opinion holds there was 6 tefachim, and the other opinion holds there was 5 tefachim. Now, how large were the luchos? What were the dimensions of the luchos? The luchos, there were 2 luchos side by side, and each one was 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. There is no disagreement with regards to the luchos as to their dimensions. The luchos were 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. The luchos were not kelim. Luchos were quarried from the earth, or v'aluchos ma'asi l'kim hema, or psalucha. Anything that has to do with the binyan, that's a given. Anything that has to do with the earth, with the structure, is always 6. So the luchos certainly relate to where they've come from. They've come from the earth. They come from Hashem. They come from the earth. They are 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. But the aron, which is a utensil, which is a kli, maybe it's 5 tefachim, maybe it's 6 tefachim. So let's now focus on the opinion in the Gemara that says that the aron, the amos of the kelim, was also measured in terms of 6 tefachim. So the Gemara makes the calculation. How many tefachim are there in an amah? 6. What is the length of the aron? 2.5. How many tefachim are there in the length of the aron?
15.
6 plus 6 plus 3. 6 plus 6 is 12 plus 3 equals 15. So the length of the aron is 15 tefachim. What is the width of the aron? 1.5. Gesundheit. 1 is 6. A half is 3. 9. So we have, it is 15 tefachim by 9 tefachim. Now let's put into this box, let's put in the luchos. What are the luchos? The luchos are 12 by 6. So let's first work out the luchos are 12, it's 6 in height, and it's 6 in width, but being that there are 2 luchos, we multiply 6 by 2, so it's 12 by 6. Now, let's work with the length. Let's work with the length. We have a length of 15 tefachim to work with.
Outside.
Outside, right. And the luchos are 12. So how many extra tefachim do we have to compensate for? 3. There are 3 extra tefachim. Now, we have to also consider the thickness of the aron. The aron was 3 boxes. There was gold on the outside, wood in the middle, and gold on the inside. What was the thickness of the aron? So the Gemara assumes, according to this opinion, that the aron, the walls were at a half a tefach thick. So on the left, it's a half a tefach. On the right, it's a half a tefach. So that accounts for 1 tefach. So how much is left? Well, we start out with 15. We gave up 12 for the luchos. We gave up 1 for the thickness of the walls, half and half on each side. So we're left with 2. What would we do with those two extra tefachim, those 2 extra fists? That is where a Sefer Torah was rolled up and inserted. Not like our Sefer Torah, which we roll it on 2 different amudim. The Sefer Torah that was through the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote the entire Sefer Torah, and he put the Sefer Torah that he wrote in the Aron together with the Luchos right in that space of 2 tzvachim. Okay, that's along the line. Now, what about the height? Well, the Luchos were 6 in height. The Aron was 9. We're going to reduce We're going to reduce by one half of tefach for the top, half tefach for the bottom, and now we're left with two. So what do we do with those two tefachim? What do you do there? What are you going to put in that space? So shockingly, the Gemara says that space was empty. There was a tefach that was empty on top, and a tefach that was empty on the bottom. Why? So words of the Gemara are, what would they do with that space? From the Shtayer Shom, okay, this is the Gemara in Shkom Daf Tes Zayin on the base. Let me find the exact words of the Gemara. The Shtayer Shom Tefach Mesav Mesavukan. The Gemara says, L'shilut, it was used for the Shilut. Shilut means to control, to be shilut over the Sefer Torah. This is the wrong piece of the Gemara. Let me just move on over here. Utvachayim, L'shilut, Mikoyim, Shesefer Torah Munach. Those are the words of the Gemara. The two Utvachayim were used, L'shilut, Mekoyim Shesefer Torah Munach. What does that mean exactly? In order, if you would want to one day take the Sefer Torah out of the box, right? Let's say you would want to take the Sefer Torah out of the box. If there's no space, it's going to get ruined. You ever go to a Sfarim store and they have a nice set of Sfarim in a case, and you want to take out one volume? So how do you take it out? You can't. You got to take the whole box, and you got to shake it. You got to shake it until one of the volumes comes out. But if you're just going to let the case sit nice and pretty, and you're going to try to stick it in your fingers, you're going to ruin the box. You're going to ruin the safe. So if you have the Aron, it's not going anywhere. The Aron weighs more than any human being can possibly carry. So how are you going to take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron? That is why we have here in the Aron an extra tefach on top, extra on the bottom, in order for you to remove the Sefer Torah. Okay, it's a very simple Gemara, very simple idea. And this idea, you probably heard this idea many, many times. But someone mentioned the man in the container, not in the Aron, not in the Aron. No one doesn't say it was in the Aron. It was there. It was the Aron. It was lying on the floor in a box. Same thing, lying there on the floor or in a box in some type of case, not in the Aron. So someone said to me the following idea. We think when we did this Gemara, there was just two extra tefachim there in order to get your hands in. You can't say that when you're dealing with the most holy object in the world. First of all, everything. First of all, they never took out the Sefer Torah. Let's be realistic. When do they ever need to take out the Sefer Torah? To check, to verify. If they need to take out the Sefer Torah, they'll get out the Sefer Torah. They'll be able to squeeze out the Sefer Torah with special utensils if they really need to do so. Why would Hashem design an Aron which has a whole gap? It's a significant amount of space. A tefach on the top, tefach on the bottom. It's dead space. For what? In order to put your hands in, to comfortably put your hands in and take out the Sefer Torah. Even if you want to give space, you can give a teeny fraction of space, because how often was it ever that they would really need to take out the Sefer Torah? Very, very rare. Why is the Torah giving this significant amount of space in the Aron, which was so expensive, and everything was done with such precision? So the answer is, this is all built into the purpose of Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, when Avraham Avinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim, the Malachim refused to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Torah. Until they were about to fight Moshe and do harmful things to Moshe, until Hashem told them, Moshe, give him an answer, respond to them. And Moshe has a dialogue with them. Do you have a Yetzirah? Do you eat Basar B'Cholav? You're the Malachim, you came to Avraham Avinu, you not follow the Torah, you ate the Cholav for Basar. A whole conversation, until finally Moshe prevailed, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he took the Torah. What is the obvious question? What's the big deal? Ner lecha, ner lemeya. The Malachim have the Torah, and we have the Torah. What's the very popular, very simple idea? What's the big deal? Everyone can have the Torah. So the answer is, it's not a matter of having, it's a matter of who is in control. Who has the power to decide halacha? We have a very simple and popular concept, Torah lav b'shamayim. The one who decides modern issues. If you have a shal in halacha, a new issue comes up, new technology, and you want to know how to deal with this issue in halacha, the one that will make the decision are the people living here in this world. the decision is not going to be made by the people who are no longer in this world. It's not going to be made by the Bezer Shalmala, not by Malachim, not by even Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone that's not among the living does not have the power to decide matters in Halacha relating to this world. It's given over to the decision of the Chachamim, the leaders of the generation of this world. They make the decision, and their decision is binding in Bezer Shalmala. They will follow the decision that is made by the minds, the understanding of the Torah, and how it can be relates to an issue that comes today. Very popular, simple concept of Olam HaShemayim. This is what the Malachim did not want Moshe Rabbeinu. They refused to let Moshe Rabbeinu take away the Torah, because they're taking the Torah, giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael. What Hashem is doing is, He's giving up control. He's giving up authority of Av, how to decide Halacha, how to understand Halacha as it relates to the modern world, to man. The Malachim refused to relinquish their power, their Shlita. When Moshe took the Torah, it doesn't mean that now we have Torah, they don't have Torah. Everyone can learn Torah. But the Koyach to decide Halacha was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the significance in there being an empty space in the Aron for the Sefer Torah. In order that there should be Lishleit Mikoyim Shesefer Torah Munach, built into the Aron, are two empty tzvachim. You know why there's two empty tzvachim? That empty space represents the greatest gift in the entire Beis HaMikdash. We look at the Beis HaMikdash, what do we think? Wow, safer Dinayam. Unbelievable. Gold, silver, the Zav Tohar, the Zav Parvoyim, there's this type of gold, that type of gold, this type of wood, Atzei Vereshim, Atzei Shemen, Atzei Shitim, Atzei Arozim, the list goes on and on and on, all these magnificent things. But you know what the greatest, the most amazing, the most greatest gift in the entire Beis HaMikdash is? It's empty space. It's two tzvachim of empty space. Where? In the Holy of Holies, in the Aron HaKodesh itself. It's something which has no value. You can't touch it. There's nothing. It's just empty space. That empty space represents the concept that man is shoylet. Man rules over what it says in the Sefer Torah. The interpretation, of course, I have to be faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Torah. But the final decision, Torah Laba Shemayim, is given to man, the words of the Gemara, Lishloit Mikoyim Shesefer Torah Munach. Given to man. That is the most precious object, place in the Beis HaMikdash. Not the gold, not the silver, not the korbanos, not the mizbeach. Empty space where your hands can fit and take out the Sefer Torah. It represents this amazing concept, shlit over the Sefer Torah. Okay, it's a very nice idea, especially when it comes to shus, shlit of the Torah. Okay, let me tell you another idea. And the Sefer Shvilei B'Shvilei HaParsha by Rav Durkos. The height was, what was the height? The height was 9 tefachim. An am and a half. The height of the Aron was 1.5 tzvach, 1.5 amos, 9 tzvachim. It was 2.5 amos by 1.5 amma by 1.5 amma high. The height equaled the width. And on top was a kapires, which was 1 tefach, which brings the entire height to exactly 10 tzvachim. Okay, now, in this week's parasha, in the Sefer Shulia parasha by Rav Durkos, he discussed some halachic issues. And he has a nice chapter on the Koisel Hamaravi. He breaks off from the pasuk. Vayira vayoyim amar noira hamokim hazeh ein zeh ki in beis elokim v'zeh shaar hashamayim. So he says a number of ideas. Some ideas. It's a very short chapter. A couple of ideas. One idea really hit me. I never saw this before. This idea. He says the word Koisel is Rosh Tevos v'nafshi. Ke'ofar lakol tihiyah. Right, it's not in order. The Koisel, the Chof is, the Chof of Koisel is, I'm going to say the right version, I'm going to go, is Ke'ofar, right? The Chof, Koi, is Ke'ofar. The Vav of Koisel is Vinafshi. Lamed is lakol. Kos, I'm sorry, the Sof, the first comes, the Sof is Tihia, and the last letter, Kosel Lamed, is Lakol. So the four letters of the word Kosel correspond to the Pasek, to the expression we say in Shmona Esrei every single day, V'nafshi ke'afar Lakol L'Tihia. What does that mean? What's the significance? So Chazal, so he says the following little cute vart. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot tolerate Gaiva. Hashem says, Ein anivu hu, I and he cannot, Ein anivu hu yecholim lodur b'kfifa achas. I cannot tolerate the arrogant. I cannot exist with him in one dome, in one village, in one structure. I can't. So what happens? So Hashem is very gracious. When Hashem comes in contact with Hashem's Shechin is resting in the Beis HaKnesses, and then walks the Baal Gaiva, and he throws his weight around, and makes a lot of trouble. Hashem says, I'm out of here. You could have it. Hashem says to man, you want to have it? You could have it. I'm leaving. That's the way Hashem created his world. He gives man power, he gives him shlita, he gives him eminent domain. And Hashem says, I'll pack up my bags and leave. I'm not going to stick around. But there's one place in the world where Hashem says, I'm not going. I'm not leaving. And that is the Kosel HaMaravi. We have a tradition, the Shechina never departed from the Kosel HaMaravi. The Shechina is B'Marav, is in the west. It never left. When you go to the Kosel, you're guaranteed to come in contact with the Shechina. Problem is, if you come to the Kosel HaMaravi with a shtickle gaiva in your heart, we got a problem. We have a conflict. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, and we have gaiva. And Hashem says, this is a conflict. Ein anivu hu yecholim lodur b'kfifa achas. And normally, when there's a conflict, who leaves? Hashem is the one who's gracious and leaves. But not the only makom in the whole world where Hashem says, I will not leave, will be the Kosel HaMaravi. So therefore, man has no choice but to humble himself. The nafshi ke'ofar, or to leave. If you want to come here, you have no choice. The nafshi ke'ofar lakol tiyah. So I think it's a very cute vart. Kosel is Rosh Hashanah, the nafshi ke'ofar lakol tiyah. Why? Because in this makom, if you want to stay, you have no choice but to humble yourself. Because this is the only place where Hashem is not going to leave. And Hashem will not tolerate gaiva. Other place in the world, Hashem, you want to be a gaiva? Good, so be about gaiva. You could stay, I'll leave. But not here. So there's a conflict. So either you leave, or follow the rules of Nafshi Ke'ofar Lakol Tiyah. Okay, once talking about the Kosel, I want to repeat a nice verse as well, very quickly. Why, Taka, is it so that Hashem does not leave the Kosel? Why not? I think it's a pasuk. The pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini no es kivodecha. Show me your honor. And what did Hashem say to Moshe? Lo yirani adam v'chai. Man cannot see me live, but I'll give you a consolation prize. I'll show you my back. I'm not going to show you my ponim. V'reisa es achorai uponai lo yeru. I'll show you my back. What Hashem showed? Hashem showed Moshe the Dalit. The Beis HaMikdash is described, the front of the Beis HaMikdash is described as the ponim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizrach, what is the ponim of the Beis HaMikdash? When you come to the Beis HaMikdash, which way do you enter? You enter on the east. Shar Nikanor is the east. The grand entrance is on the east. When you come into the Hekel, you're coming into the east. You enter the Kodesh in the east. The Kodesh in the east. That means that the back, the Achorai of the Beis HaMikdash is the Marav. So Hashem said to Moshe, Ponai lo yerohu. But if you want that, everyone knows the famous Jewish that it's impossible to appreciate, to perceive a Kodesh Baruch Hu from the Ponim. To see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conducting world affairs, it's hard, impossible to see the Yad Hashem. But Hashem says to Moshe, Achora Yero, in hindsight, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see the Yad Hashem, the Shechina was there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guarding him, taking you all the way, all along. Likewise, when you go to the Kosel is the Maariv. When we come to the Kosel Maariv, we're on the back. We're behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We are on the back, the Achoirai of Hashem's Hashuas HaShchina. Because that's exactly what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Panim Lo Yirohu, that's not sustainable. But Achoirai Yirohu, you'll always be able to appreciate, to see the Shechina in hindsight. That's in essence what the Kosel HaMaravi is. The Kosel HaMaravi is the Dalit, is the Kesher Shel Tefillin. It's the Achoirai of HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, let me go to another idea, another nice idea. This idea comes from the Sefer Chavetzelis HaSharoin. This is a very popular set in massive size volumes. They're like telephone books. Person was a genius. He wrote, I think, at least a few. Most of the later volumes are two volumes. The earlier volume was one volume for whole Chumash. Later on, when he got to Devarim, I think he has two volumes per Chumash. And he has a lot of very, he writes very, very well. His writing is very easy. Lots of lumdus. It's lumdus on the parasha. So in the beginning of the parasha, he has a nice discussion about the name of Mechaber. The Mechaber's name, pages glued together, stuck together. He's so humble. Karlivich. Mordechai Karlivich.
What is
Karlivach? Kof Reish Lamed. Kalibach? No. Karlibach. Kof. No, it's not Karlbach. It's not Karlbach. Different spelling. All right, let me tell you what it says. A very popular farm. He has a very nice discussion. I want to bring out a point between the Machlis and the Rambam and the Ravid. A very nice discussion about the nature of Tfilas Marv. In this week's parasha, we learn about Vayifka B'Mokoyim, Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov what?
That's
what he spells it? Karlbach? Okay, so maybe some of the famous Karlbach family related to our very own Rabbi Karlbach here in the neighborhood. We have here this week's parasha by Yifka Bamokoim. Yaakov Avinu, he is Yifka. He meets this Mokoim. He davens. He goes to sleep. He wakes in the morning. Vayivayimar, and he gets up and he's mispalo. He's mispalo in this Mokoim. From here, Chazal learned Vayifka Vayin Pigir. Rashi says El Loshon Tefila. When he discovers that he is in the location of the Har Hamariah, the place of the Akedah, he's in the location where Adam brought a carbon, when Noach brought a carbon, he's overwhelmed. Vayifka ein pigia el loshon tefila, he is mispalo. And he was misakin here now the tefila of Ma'ariv. Avram was misakin vayashkin aboiker, Avram was misakin the tefila of Shachris, Yitzchak was said it was mincha, and Yaakov was misakin the tefila of Ma'ariv, vayifka b'mokoyim. Now the nature of Ma'ariv is different than the nature of Shachris and Mincha, in that it's only me ikar hadin a tfilas rishus. Okay, it used to be, not anymore today, but it used to be that if you don't want to daven, you have to daven. It's only rishus. If you want to, Shachris and Mincha, you have no choice. You must daven Shachris and Mincha. Ma'ariv? Why? Because Yaakov Avinu did not really intend. It was only he was vayifka. It was an accident, so to speak. He passed over the Mokom, he went backwards, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about Kfitz HaDerech. It was not done deliberately. It was done slightly as an afterthought. And therefore, since the establishment of Ma'ariv was not done with the same intensity as Avraham and Yitzchak relative to their tefilos, Ma'ariv is a tefilas reshus. It's not an obligation. How, another reason why it's only an obligation is because another reason why we have that Ma'ariv is because it corresponds to the burning of the tini, of the burning of the Evarim. We bring Kurbanos twice a day, Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, and the Evarim, they burn the entire night. So the burning of the Evarim on the Mizbech the entire night is Tfilas Ma'ariv. However, if you do it very quickly, if you burn the Evarim during the day, you bring Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, and the Evarim are completely burned before it gets dark, you don't have to do anything at night. It's not necessary to do anything. It's already done. But it's not an obligation. Yes, to keep it, the Kates Mizbeach, to keep going the entire night. They have so much shmid that goes the entire night. But that's not an obligation. That's a reshus. It's not an obligation. Therefore, the nature of Ma'ariv corresponds to that burning. It's all reshus. Okay, now here's a shayla. Interesting shayla. Person is davening, let's say davening shachas. And then you realize, wait a minute, I already I already daven shachas. That's not going to happen. Let's talk about mincha. Right, you'll daven mincha now, 12:06, and then you'll forget. You'll go 4 o'clock and say, oh, mincha, and you'll go to shul, and you'll start davening mincha, and then in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, you'll start daydreaming. Right, what else do you do during Shemoneh Esrei? Start daydreaming.
Ask yourself.
And then, wait a minute, these words are familiar. Didn't I already say these words? Must be. Oh, I davened already mincha. So what do you do?
It's a
nedava. The halacha is, you have to stop in the middle. You finish the bracha, that's it. No. Why not? Excellent question. Why not? Oh, why not? Why not? So let's put that in the halacha. Why not? Because when you started, if you would start lechatchila, I already daven mincha. I daven mincha already. But I want to daven again. I want to daven another mincha. A second mincha. You really shouldn't do it. But if you really want to do it, no one's going to stop you. As long as you no one's going to stop you. Daven another mincha nedava. Tfilas nedava. It's frowned upon by Chazal, because we're not in the Madrega today where you can just go daven without being mechadish for davar. We're not going to daydream or wander. Our mind's not going to wander. But if you really want to daven another mincha, and you're going to concentrate with all your might, and you're going to be mechadish, and do yichidish, you can daven a tfilas nedava. But it has to be all or nothing. The whole tefillah from beginning to end must be l'shem nedava. When you came to shul 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you started davening mincha, you thought, you didn't remember that you already davened mincha before. So you start your Shemoneh Esrei with the kavana that it's choiva, that this is an obligation. Now you're halfway through the Shemoneh Esrei, you're up to the bracha of Rifa'enu. Oy, I already davened Shemoneh Esrei. So from here on in, from the Birchas Rifa'enu to the very end, I'm going to daven with the kavana that it should be l'shem nedava. You can't do that. You can't have a tefillah that half is choiva and half is nedava. You cannot do that. So you already davened half choiva, l'shem choiva. You can't repeat that now. It's too late to repeat that. So it's it. You're stuck. You're in no man's land. You have to stop where you're up to, and that's the end.
So what you should do is be the chazan for a second time.
You're in the middle.
It's not shy. Actually,
you're being might say that. I don't have all the worst scenarios. Or but in this case, that's the halacha. Now here is my shaila to you, and this is machlekes the Rambam and the Ravitz. Let's say you're davening Ma'ariv. I davened already in early Ma'ariv. Mincha Ma'ariv, I davened Ma'ariv at 5 o'clock, whatever it was, and now it's 9 o'clock at night, and now I'm davening Ma'ariv a second time, and in the middle of my Ma'ariv, middle of 9 o'clock at night, I realize Oygevalt, I already davened. So you're in the middle, what do you do?
It's
a rishus. So if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam says, keep on going. Oh, but I already started davening the first day of the Shemoneh Esrei l'shem chayva. The whole essence of Ma'ariv is a tfilas rishus. So Mamela, you can continue the remainder of the Shemoneh Esrei with the kavana of Nedava, because it's all the same thing. It's anyway only Rishus. Even though Bizman Hazer, we have accepted upon ourselves the Daven Ma'ariv as an obligation, we've accepted it. Okay, we accepted that, but really, technically speaking, the core of the Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus. So there's an incredible nafkamina, a difference between halacha lamayis, a difference between the shachris, mincha, on one hand, and ma'ariv on the other hand. If you forget yourself and you're in the middle, if you want to go daven a double Shemoneh Esrei, go right ahead, tfilas nedava. But if you already started out in the Shemoneh Esrei, mitoyim there's choiva, and now in the middle you want to switch gears, and you want to make the remainder of the other half of the half of the Shemoneh Esrei into a rishus, that you can't do. That you can't do in the middle when it comes to Shacharis and Mincha, but you can do according to the Rambam for Ma'ariv. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid holds, Einoch Inami, just because it's a Rishus, but Bizman Hazeh, we have accepted it upon ourselves as a Choiva. We have accepted Ma'ariv Midin Choiva. Being that Bizman Hazeh, we accept Ma'ariv Midin Choiva, it has the status of Choiva, and you can't continue on. So I just want to bring out this very interesting hakira.
That's only Shemoneh Esrei. What about the
That's certainly not. There's no birchas nedar for the birchas Kriya Shema. Absolutely
so
not.
When you're saying Kriya Shema in the middle, you realize you said
stop.
Well,
you could say the Kriya Shema. There's no harm, but the brachas.
You said it before this month.
But the brachas. Yeah. No, the brachas you only say once. That's bracha levatala.
The Kriya Shema, you can say
okay, yeah, Kriya Shema, yes, Psukim, yeah, that you can always say, but the brachas, absolutely not. So I just want to bring out this very interesting chakir, you have Marv, Ayifka Mamokah, Marv, on the one is a Rishus, on the other hand, it's not a Rishus, it's a Chayva. There are two Makaris for the Tzilah, from Yachavin, from the Korbanos, and there's a very interesting way of looking at it from the Ravid and the Rambam. And he has a lot more to this. He's Mephapal in this very, very much, but this Chakira between the Rambam and the Ravid, and with this Nafkamina, how do you view Mar Bizman Hazeh? Do you view it's been upgraded to a Choyva that's a full status of a Choyva? Or maybe even buried entirely in the Mar
Bizman? You can't use my angle of being a Chazm because the Chazm doesn't say
Shmanet Shrei. And this Nafkamina Halacha, when you're in the middle, when you start the Shem Choyva and you're in the middle, can you continue? Two different ways of looking at it. Okay, well, with that we will conclude. Mordechai. Yiskadal v'yiskadash mei rabo. V'yolom odi v'rochi v'yusei v'yamlich malchusei. V'chayi choyim v'yomei chonu v'chayi d'chol beis Yisrael ba'agolo u'bizman kodi v'yimru amein. Yihesh mei rabo v'yorach v'yolom v'yomel mayo. Yisparach v'yishtabach v'yisbo'ar v'yishonam v'yisnasei. V'yisador v'yisalev v'yisalosh mei b'kudusha b'rechu. Le'eila min kol v'chasa v'shirasa t'shbuchasa v'nechamasa dami ron v'yolom odi v'yimru amein. Al Yisrael Yal Rabbanan, Yal Talmidehon, Yal Kol Talmideh, Salmidehon, Yal Kol Mondos, Kumirai, Sadivi Astro, Hodem, Vidivu Cholassar, Viasar, Yehel Mahon, Ulchon, Shlom Rabba, Hino, Vichistav Rachamin, Techaina Vichin, Zoni Vichay, Ufur Kodamin, Kodamuni, Vishmaya, Viaravi, Mu, Amen, Yehel Shlom Rabba, Minshamaya, Vichayim Taimolain, Uyal Kol Yisrael, Vimu, Amen. I say Shalom Bimraimov, we are Shalom Alein, Uyal Kol Yisrael, Vimu, Amen.
Maybe we should have it in the back.
Okay. Well.
No, it's hilarious to anyway. Yeah. Yes, the dirt back there.
No,
That's why they have Benny Shul, because, you know.
That's it.
Time for the latest
left. Is that
it?
Thank you.
Despite the
Even though as far as the zeros goes, this tonight is because of the word Kiyafri, because of the root of the meaning of zeros, that pasuk is specifically about the zeros, that has to be clear. Yesh lo lo in kind of after Kiyafri, then Mipnei Shalo is parish the pasuk. He's a neder nechshav ha-lo, that he's a lo. Because the word by his ears is Kiyafri. The word ha-lo appears regarding the dark, and it's not explained what neder is called ha-lo or not. But I'm talking about the parish, and it's for logic, that neder is that ino v'chal ha-lo, that this kind of neder is not called ha-lo. I will repeat you while you're sober. If he would have thought that a person always makes up his mind, even in a doubtful situation, to be hide himself, Hoyot Mashivo Haflo, he would consider it Haflo. Below Hoyot Ma'amid as a Pasuk, the Ma'ato, he wouldn't take this Pasuk to limit it. The Soberis and Mara Shema, Shachosa, Haflo, Khan, Eno, Mitzad, Shemeshas, and Nedim, Tokhe, Shalom, Tokhe, and Zeus. And the Gemara holds that this that Shema Shachosa is lacking, that this Haflo is not because at the time of the Nedim, he held that that the Zeros would not become. The Eino Boro Shemesh Kam Nedim, and it's not clear that there is a Nedim. Hello, Chosser Bahaflo, you can Shekam Ahat Sacha, the Kabbalah Las in the series, in the Borsha, the Kabbalah of the Edison series. It's, the problem is that we don't know that he really intended to become a Nazir, because he always assumed that this guy, the one who says, I'll become a Nazir,
the white horse is going to come by.
And he asked for up. The eight kind of features for Zion Borer, Shevelibo, Lidlo, Ned, it's not clear that he's really saying.
Well, this is in a different context.
Yeah, we have to go
over this. Where do you want to start? I think it's tomorrow.
We're getting you tomorrow, yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, Jack City and Shul, I mean, they have an appeal. He says $180. Now, he says it's a fairly major thing. But he opened his mouth and he said, the worst amount of his mouth. This is high up the pay.
You don't really appeal, you mean an appeal for
a meal? No, not appeal.
Oh.
We have this.
Oh, what do you mean he didn't want to say? He said it.
He said, but he really didn't mean it. He really didn't mean it.
No. He said, I'm going to give. He's got to give. But you have another kind. You have the kind where they're selling cleaners. And the guy says $180 for the suits the next time you know, the 200 or more. And then the other everybody's quiet. It's awful. You know, and then he's stuck with it. Even if he didn't. He's also stuck with it.
So why did he do this?
Because when there's no competition, then there's nothing.
I'm competing. One saying he doesn't say, one saying he says. The horse doesn't come by, the other saying the horse does come by. It comes out of your mouth.
No, he's not working on tonight. There's no tonight there.
The person says he's going to give a quarter.
Give a what?
He's going to give a quarter. But the person says he's going to do something. He only thinks it's only about Shabbat, his obligation. This recording has an obligation.
If he says it,
explicitly. Doesn't he say it explicitly?
He just thinks it.
I think he has an obligation with the Corbett. The Hector's just different. I'm not so sure, but I think that's the way it is. I think I'll see you Friday.
Okay. Yes, he did say. Okay, you too.
Get out and see the fish.
Well, I don't know about upstairs. It's first start here.
Yeah.
Well, take your coat or start.
Yeah, I'm going to get something from the combat.
What are you going to get?
You show me and then I come back.
Why?
I have to get something out of
the bag. Oh, I can stay here all day tomorrow. His hands will be straight and clean. Here, his hands will be clean.
Yeah.
Come on. You see if your stuff is clean. That's battery powder. Did somebody shut the light here?
No.
Did?
Yeah,
it
came
back up. Funny. Can I help you?
I'm going to put this away.
Oh, God. They gave me the ad. Put it here.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.